Buccaneers fans, it's the episode you've been waiting for, the transition of power episode with the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. What a wild week in the world of the Bucs, and we have it all here for you. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucs Fan. Lee Dekepper of JoeBucsFan.com is here, and it's all presented by Bill Curry Ford. Don't mess around. Order your vehicle now at Bill Curry Ford. You can use their customized tool there. It's fantastic. And no money down. No deposit to order your vehicle. GM Sean Sullivan is not only going to take care of you personally if you want that personal touch, but you're going to get the Ira Kaufman discount if you ask for it. You're also going to get cash back. They've got a great offer going on at the website, BillCurryFord.com. Bill Curry Ford, the sage himself, drives a cherry red 2020 Ford Escape. He loves it. Bill Curry Ford. Can't say enough about Sean Sullivan. Can't say enough about the Curry family. 61 years in Tampa, family owned, nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Bill Curry Ford. And Big Storm Beer, that's the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Don't mess around. Go to bigstormbrewery.com. Look at all the amazing craft beers. And then punch in your zip code and find out where to buy it and try it in your neighborhood. It's probably in your local Publix and also in all the best places everywhere. The food at the tap rooms is fantastic as well. In Orlando, at the Amway Center, Cape Coral, Clearwater, the flagship location on 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road. And, of course, in the Sage's neighborhood in Newport Richey, right there, actually Odessa location, just off State Road 54. And we'll talk more later about Florida's elite restoration. Sage, there's no mold on you. You are just a man who's been all over the place. National radio, jet setting over to Palm Beach where we had our last podcast. And of course, you were all over One Buck Palace everywhere on the phone. You're getting calls. I mean, it's just been crazy. Ira, this is an exciting time. I'm going to clear the floor. Lee's going to clear the floor. The transition of power to Todd Bowles and the way this all played out. Here we are. What say you?
Stevie, we knew that this was going to be kind of a dynamic offseason with all these potential free agents and what are they going to do. But Steve, when you look back at the last 9 weeks, say, I mean, you talk about tumultuous. You start with the Rams game, the drama there, the heartbreak, the comeback, and then the heartbreak. Brady retires. He botched the retirement announcement, but he retires. 40 days later, he comes back on a Sunday night, an announcement. And now we have the Arians affair. Steve, this is unbelievable. I'm now turning my attention to Todd Bowles. I've been thinking about this, as you have, Steve. Second time around for Bowles. Steve, this is very different. Very, very different than I believe it was 2015. When he came to the Jets. Not a lot of expectations for Todd Bowles in New York. The Jets hadn't been doing much. They didn't have a quarterback, so to speak. They had Fitzpatrick, and we know how that works out. The more you see him, the more he's going to screw up. But he's a hell of a backup. Well, he wasn't a backup. No expectations in New York, and the guy wins 10 games, and then it all falls apart. Steve, here he is in Tampa. He says he's going to be a different coach, learn from his mistakes. Steve, now he's got the greatest quarterback of all time. Expectations high. Bucs favored to win the NFC. Favored over the Rams. Bucs favored. Let that sink in a little bit. And I don't think the transition from Arians to Bowles, Steve, has affected the Vegas odds one iota in that regard. And Steve, if the guy goes 10-7, Buck fans are going to be up in arms, where, you know, his 10-6 record was applauded and he's probably in the running for coach of the year that first season in New York. Everything's changed for Todd Bowles. And Steve, one thing struck me when they brought Bowles back into the media room and he was asked a lot about how he's going to be a different coach. What did he learn from the first time around, Steve? You got to learn something through your mistakes. And Steve, he talked about situational football. And I've been talking to some Jet fans about the Bowles tenure there, 4 years. And he was lambasted routinely, in the New York papers for poor clock management. poor situation of football. And I think that's made a big impression on Bowles. I hope he's got somebody with him on the sidelines. 2 minutes left in the half. How are you going to handle your timeouts? There's a lot of things that go through the mind of a head coach. That's what I'm going to be looking for Todd Bowles, because, Steve, on the face of it, he's got a hell of a roster. If Ndamukong Suh doesn't come back, I'd be surprised. If Gronk doesn't come back, I'd be surprised. I mean, I think the Bucs are going to be set. And barring an injury to Brady, which is the one thing we always say on this podcast, Steve, he's got to go out. He's got to dominate the division, wrap it up by Thanksgiving, and, you know, win 13 games and show that he can get this job done. Not to mention, Steve, in the future, unless he's going to be a one and done, Todd Bowles is probably going to have life without Brady, and that'll probably be the real test for Todd Bowles. But, Steve, I think the Bucs are in very good shape. Bowles is looking forward to this thing, but to say that the Bowles era in Tampa is going to be a smashing success, I can't say that right now, Steve. He's got a lot to prove.
All right, Lee, let me hand it over to you. We heard sort of Ira's initial salvo in the State of the Bowles address. What is your opening shot here as we switch to Todd Bowles?
The only word I can think of is, and this might be overstating it, I'll just say chagrin. The greatest era of Bucs football is over. Nothing against Todd Bowles whatsoever. There was nothing broken on this Bucs team. Nothing. Now you got a major, major, major cog you replace. One that's probably more important than Brady. That's not good. It's way too early to say, you know, to predict what kind of win total they'll have. But to me, that's two less wins this year. I really believe that. I believe the Bucs will still be in the playoffs, but two less wins this year because of no Arians. I'm that big of a believer in Arians. But, you know, my motto, don't fix something that's not broken. The Bucs weren't broken.
Steve, I was at the press conference on Thursday. A couple of things struck me. One, I like the fact that Brady showed up. Lee, I don't know if you've heard me say this, Lee, but he was in the front row by the aisle. I was on the other side of the auditorium. Dan Lucas of Channel 8 was sitting next to me. When I spotted Brady, I said to Lucas, we have to get this guy when this thing ends. He nodded in agreement. Brady's a big part of the story, I felt, rightfully or wrongfully. Well, Lee, I made my way over to the other side. I was standing in the aisle. I was 10 feet behind Brady. I was in position. I was going to pounce. And before my very eyes, the head of Bucs security, Andre, holds the front door open. And Brady runs out like I'm Aaron Donald chasing him out of the pocket, Lee. Gone. And I know some Buck fans say he owes you nothing, Ira. Brady owes you nothing. And I understand that, but I don't agree with it, Lee. I was there to clear the air, and there's a lot of air that needs to be cleared, Lee. Charles Robinson of Yahoo and these Boston writers, they're coming on strong. I mean, really strong. I think they're way over the top in some of these things, especially these Boston people that still can't get over the fact that Brady's still not under center in Foxborough. They've never been able to get over it, and I think they're a little victims, you know. And, Lee, you know the charge. Brady pulls the strings. Brady orchestrated this. He ran Arians out of town. As hard as it is to believe that Arians of his own free will would walk away from a team that's got a darn good chance to be in the Super Bowl, as hard as that is to believe, Lee, in my opinion, it's equally hard to believe that Brady ran off Arians, who's got a hell of a track record in this league. This ain't no first-year bumpkin coach. And all of a sudden, Arians is going to accept that without any problem and stay on the team and see Brady every day in training camp, knowing that this guy undermined him. Lee, that's equally hard to believe, in my opinion.
This is the grassy knoll theory. To this day, people don't believe Lee Harvey Oswald knocked off Kennedy. Because it's virtually impossible to believe that a whack job drifter took out a president with three shots. So you got the grassy knoll, you got the mob, you got the FBI,
right
on down the line. Just on face value, what Arians did makes zero sense. Zero sense. what Brady is alleged to do makes all the sense in the world. He goes to the Glazers in England. He says, it's Arians or me. Who are you making money on? Are you making money on me? Or are you making money on Arians? Boom. That makes sense. I don't believe it, and I'll tell you why later. That's logical as logical can be. A coach having the greatest quarterback of all time drop in his lap the second time in 3 years, and days later, I'm done, makes no sense. And I believe Arians did that. I believe Arians' side of the story. I believe it. It still makes no sense. In other words, truth is stranger than fiction.
Steve, you know what bolsters Arians' narrative? And I think it's the only thing that boosts it. His track record, Steve. It's not like all of a sudden he's Mr. Diversity, he's Mr. Inclusion, and that's not holding any water. Steve, he's got a history of doing this. He's obsessive about it. When I used the word obsessive to Light after the conference, he agreed. He said obsessive in a good way about these assistants. So, Steve, I know Lee's making a great point. If you use football logic, you know, you might win a Super Bowl. You might get a gold jacket. For guys like the three of us, that's certainly enough motivation to stick it out.
Sage,
but he's not doing it.
Sage, there's a few things here.
I got to have a little pushback there, Ivor. I got to have a little bit of pushback. When has Arians ever quit his job for the sake of diversity?
Well, he quit once because of health reasons. He did.
Yeah, exactly. These coaches are driven, man. There's one reason why they succeed in the NFL. They're freaking driven. They've got the ego. They're driven. And for a guy with a chance to win a Super Bowl, a very legitimate chance, and again, with the greatest quarterback of all time dropping in his lap the second time in 3 years, and just a couple days later, I'm good. On face value, that makes zero sense.
Sage, a couple of things here to shake it up. First, just a couple of points. You had mentioned Bowles needs a clock management guy in your monologue there to open up, Ira. You hope that he would get one because of his track record with the Jets. Hello, Bruce Arians. What do you have to shop for one for? Arians is not the guy. He's not that coach that is constantly screwing up at the end of the game and is talked about every week for his mess-ups. Nobody's perfect, but he's got an experienced hand at that. So why do you have to look for it? You don't have to look for it. He's right there. Number two, Jason Light told Rich Eisen's show that the Glazers were not even in England when Brady was there. And you saw Joel Glazer's face, Ira, when I pressed him on the issue. Did you meet with Glazer or did you meet with Brady? Did you even talk to him or see him there? And he said no. So I think we can throw that out as a big England coup meeting or something. Then, you know, everybody's saying they weren't even there. They didn't have to go that far and there were no pictures and whatever. Anyway, but here's the question I have for you, Ira. Two big questions. One, why is Bruce Arians out there saying and implying that he didn't want to leave Todd Bowles this team without Tom Brady, that's a bad situation. Why the hell is that a bad situation? You've got the best roster in the division. You've got free agent quarterbacks out there that are probably in the ballpark of the current quarterbacks in the division. And you've got a top flight front office. You've got 6 Pro Bowlers on the roster. Bruce Arians is trying to sell. I couldn't turn that team over to Todd. What? Everybody expected without Tom Brady, this team to win at least 9 or 10 games. So I don't understand that in any way, shape, or form. A lot of head coaches, including Bruce Arians, take over football teams that suck. Arians walked into a Cardinals team with no quarterback and that had won 5 games. He was fine with turning that around. What, Todd Bowles couldn't walk into a team with 6 Pro Bowlers and a Super Bowl front office and good in the trenches and fix it? I don't really buy that. I don't understand it. I think it's a referendum on Kyle Trask that no one's talking about, as well as some other things. Also, Sage, I got to say this. Lastly, I think it's not about the diversity. I think it's about these are Arians' guys, and he's crazy loyal. He's already said, I don't hire outsiders. I stick with my guys. You can be diverse, Ira, and not be into diversity and not keep sticking with the same coaches for 30-something years. You can fire guys and hate guys and just keep hiring more diverse hires, but he's crazy loyal. I think it's more about loyalty and the fact that he really knew I only have one more year left, and hey, if the Glazers are going to pay me, and I don't know. But the last thing I'll ask you, Ira, and you can hit on these, is if Brady didn't want Arians to step down, would Arians have stepped down? And I think the answer to that is no. If Tom Brady said, what, you're leaving, Bruce? I'm not staying if you're leaving. This is ridiculous. You're the freaking head coach. Todd Bowles, nice guy. I like him, but I mean, what's going on? Changing a head coach, that's not a good situation. And so if Brady didn't want Arians to step down, I don't think he would have. And if Brady is neutral or lukewarm, or like, yeah, I don't care, Todd's fine, then that's weird also.
Steve, couple things. If Brady was neutral on the subject of who's going to coach the Bucks this fall, that's far from saying that he had a major problem with Arians. So that's two different things.
Yep.
He might have been okay with Bowles at that point. Doesn't mean he ran off Arians. That's taking it an extra step. Steve, let's not be naive in terms of what Arians was talking about being in the cupboard and turning it over to Todd Bowles a month ago rather than now. Lee, let's not be naive. He's talking about who's under center. That's what he's talking about. And if Kyle Trask is under center and Lee, there was no guarantee that the Bucks were going to get Deshaun Watson. There was no guarantee at that time that they were going to get Matt Ryan or somebody of that ilk. And we were talking about Blaine Gabbert and Kyle Trask. And to think that Todd Bowles might struggle a little bit with Kyle Trask under center, I don't think that's crazy for Arians to think that way. I'm not sure Arians would think that he's going to win 10 or 11 games with Kyle Trask. He might stumble into a division title. It says more about the NFC South than the Buck roster, Lee, but it's got to be the quarterback position. And according to the Buck narrative, if you believe it, once Brady was in the fold, Arians felt, okay, Bowles is going to have a good season and get his second time around off to a good start. It has got nothing to do with Carlton Davis or Russell Gage at that point. Arians wasn't sure who was going to be the quarterback.
Well, I thought it was very telling at the combine. It was all about Blaine Gabbert. Blaine Gabbert, Blaine Gabbert, Blaine Gabbert. Like, kept talking about him. Arians kept talking about him. Everybody there that had not walked in from the steakhouse, they knew that something stunk. And then later on, it turns out Arians was saying they were deep in preparations for trading for a quarterback. So I thought that was very, very telling. Here's the only thing that makes sense. Rich Eisen said this on his show on Peacock. The thing that sold Eisen that all this is true about Arians deciding to hand it over to Bowles. What kind of psychopath would Brady have to be if he did force out Arians? Then he shows up at his press conference, goodbye press conference, sits front row and smiles at him the entire time.
That's not crazy, Lee. That's not crazy.
I said this to Ira yesterday, chatting. If there was an issue for Tom Brady with Bruce Arians, it is very likely that Bruce Arians didn't know about it. There's plenty of people who hate their boss, and their boss doesn't realize that they hate their guts. We've all worked with people like that. Man, I can't freaking stand that guy, but you do what you have to do to make sure that's not out there. And I think it's really weird. I'm not saying that any of this is true, but I don't think we can just... You know, that's why I didn't like the Rich Eisen theory. It's like, come on, Rich, I'm sure there's plenty of ESPN executives you didn't like and you sat there and clapped at their retirement party or at, you know what I mean? But as far as Brady goes, it's just a mystery, Ira. It's a little strange because the Buccaneers, another angle for you, Sage, to comment on. The Buccaneers have been making, over the last 2 years, all-in moves. Everywhere you turn, it's an all-in move in free agency. It's an all-in move with a contract. Yet the head coach move is not an all-in move. Nobody can sit here and say Todd Bowles is a better head coach than Bruce Arians. It's not an all-in move. Explain that to me, Ira.
That's a great point, Steve, and I'll take it a step further. From what I know of the Glazers in 26, 27 years of ownership, I think if Brady would have made the Glazers aware of an issue with Arians, Lee, you know what I think their response would have been? Work it out. You two work it out. They would have brought them together and lights in the middle and they talk about it and have a frank discussion. I mean, you know, Arians doesn't have thin skin. And if it was a problem with Arians coming in and changing game plans or whatever, let them talk about it. I don't think they would just dump Arians on the side of the road, Lee. I'm not buying it, Lee. I'm not buying it.
Ooh, the Glazer family. Now, you know the Glazers more than I, obviously, Ira. But the Glazers have documented history of doing just that. Chucky and McKay didn't get along. Who'd they side with? It wasn't McKay.
Well, they tried. They tried. And in the end, they realized they couldn't work together. It went a lot deeper than Arians coming in late in the week and putting a magic marker to a game plan. I mean, you know, Gruden thought McKay was incredibly lazy and made terrible draft picks. And McKay couldn't stand Gruden's constant second guessing. It really got bad. It got so bad that McKay left the franchise that he loves and that he mm-hmm. grew up with. I don't see the Glazers dumping Arians on the side of the road in 2 seconds, Steve. Not with what Arians meant to this franchise. I understand that they sell a lot of merchandise and get a lot of ticket sales with Brady. But why would Arians stick around this franchise, Lee? Does he need the money that bad? If he thought Brady totally undermined him, is he sticking Image. Around?
Image.
Well, I don't think Arians would let himself be treated that way.
I agree with you, unless he doesn't really know. You know, we just don't know the levels of anything, really. I did think it's a little weird. Maybe you guys heard this because you were there in person and have talked to different people. But I don't recall anybody saying, from Jason Light to Joel Glazer, nobody said, we did everything we could to talk Bruce out of this. He's the greatest coach in Buccaneers history. Nobody seemed to care that Arians was leaving.
Nobody
did. Joel Glazer said, this is one of the easiest hires I've ever made. What? I mean, Todd Bowles may be a great coach, but easy hire. You just had to sign off on your great coach, your Ring of Honor coach, walking away.
And here's another thing people bring up. I don't think it's a factor. I hope it's not. Is any kind of a health concern? You know, like, why are they rushing him in the Ring of Honor? Did he get a bad report from a doctor? Lee, I don't think that's a factor. I think he's in decent shape. I think he's dropped 50 pounds, Lee. And if anything, this might be a word from his wife to maintain his health. Lee, here's something that I find a little strange. And I've got this documented. There's not any doubt about it. There's not any conjecture about it. He didn't tell Bowles till Monday. Bowles finds out on Monday. Lee, I talked to a Buck assistant on Thursday as I was driving into the press conference, and that guy swore to me that he didn't know anything about the Arians-Bowles transition till Wednesday. I mean, Arians doesn't even call these assistant coaches that are like, his own sons. I mean, that's a little crazy, Lee.
This whole situation is crazy.
Sage, I still come back to, why not just hand Todd Bowles the keys to this at the end of January? I don't understand that. I mean, aren't you in slightly hamstringing your head coach when you don't maybe Todd Bowles wanted to add a different assistant or two, put his stamp on it, you know, bring in some new blood a little bit. Maybe he wanted to get more involved in the draft. You know, Bowles was talking on radio the other day. He's like, man, I have so much work to catch up on. I haven't even looked at an offensive player in the draft. And other things, it's just odd. Just the whole thing's odd.
It is odd, but I'll give you one theory about that, Steve, in terms of January postseason and post-Brady retirement. I get the distinct impression, and I believe Arians said something in this regard. He wanted to prove something, Lee, at a certain point. After Brady's announcement, first announcement, Arians, I think, was a little bit revved up, Lee, I do, to show that he could win with Blaine Gabbert. I think that was his plan, Lee.
Are you saying that one of the reasons Arians stepped aside is he became depressive that Brady was coming back, that he was so looking forward to rebuilding the offense and proving everybody wrong that he got that bummed out?
No, I'm saying that he looked forward to the challenge of Gabbert.
Okay.
And it, also knowing that it was going to be a problem for Todd Bowles, because Bowles is not an advocate for Blaine Gabbert. We don't have any reason to believe it.
It says a lot that no one pumped up Blaine Gabbert more than Light and Arians a month ago. and a guy still isn't on the roster, but Ryan Griffin is.
Well, I think at that point, Steve, I think Light was going along with the program, and the program was likely to end up with Blaine Gabbert. Likely. They were looking at some other guys, some veteran options, but nothing was concrete, Steve, that they were going to be able to pull a deal for Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson. And I think the idea of winning with Blaine Gabbert in a crappy division, you know, motivated Arians a little bit. But when it came to quitting and giving a job to Todd Bowles, Blaine Gabbert was not going to be the answer in Arians' mind. I think that's the way he was thinking.
I understand, Ira. It's just, well, first, I agreed with Lee immediately once I started laughing. So wait a minute. Arians got more motivated to work with Blaine Gabbert than the last run of Tom Brady. It is funny on the surface, but I see what you're talking about with the competitive challenge. He did seem very eager to say, hey, man, this is my guy, and you step back and watch. And I believe that these guys are ultra crazy competitive, Lee referenced that previously. But I will point out Blaine Gabbert didn't re-sign till much later last season. Took a while for him to re-sign, and I'm guessing that he wanted to look at the free agent market and realize it wasn't there for him, and then he came back on the cheap kind of late. So it could be the same thing again. I mean, I saw the other day Nick Mullins, the old 49ers third stringer who got some playing time years ago, he signed with the Raiders. It's like, nobody's even looking at Blaine Gabbert, apparently, for a visit.
And, Lee, in terms of Blaine Gabbert, I mean, let's be honest here. Arians has lost, 90% of his clout in this new capacity. He's not the guy. Bowles is the guy. And we don't have any reason to believe Bowles is a Blaine Gabbert guy. And as far as Light's remarks, at that point, if Light thought that, it's probably going to be Blaine Gabbert, and I got to back up my coach on this, I wouldn't read too much into what Light was saying at that time. Now it's Light's call. It's Bowles' call. And I think this allure of Blaine Gabbert has disappeared.
As far as Blaine Gabbert not being Bowles' guy, number one, I have no idea. Because I don't know what Bowles wants in a quarterback. I can only go by his history. And if you look at his history of quarterbacks with the Jets, Blaine Gabbert could be his guy.
Well, he ain't going to see the field in 2022 if Brady's healthy. Well, let's put it like that.
To put a bow on it, as you would say, Ira, Blaine Gabbert re-signed last year in May. May 5th was his re-sign date. So it's not exactly that strange as of this point. Ira, we mentioned Jason Light, and there's an important point here that needs to be addressed. First, Sage, I got to give a shout out to all the business owners out there who handle disasters for their clients, whether it's a plumber or an air conditioning contractor, maybe a property manager, builder, whatever it is, when there's an issue, a problem in a home and it's critical, fire, flood, mold, wind damage, storm damage, you got to have someone to call who you trust and who's honest and who's going to give you a free assessment at the property quickly and works 24/7 and has a great reputation. That's Florida's Elite Restoration. Reach out today to owner Josh Martin. He wants to meet with you just to go over how Florida's Elite Restoration can help your business and your clients in an honest way. And that's the key in this business is honesty. Josh has 14 years experience as an insurance adjuster. He understands the other side of the business where insurance companies do people wrong and do not take care of what they're supposed to. He will help you succeed in all areas of disaster restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration. Call Josh Martin today. Reach out and tell him you want to get together to see what Florida's Elite Restoration can do for you. It's easy. It's painless. And of course, homeowners out there, just call Florida's Elite Restoration 24/7. Anytime you have a disaster in your home, they're going to come out and work with you. But more important, they're going to give you a free assessment of everything that's going on and make sure you don't get ripped off by your insurance company. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. I want to remind everybody, Big Storm Beer, guzzle it. That's it. Big Storm Beer, Florida's best craft beer. It's in Publix, BigStormBrewery.com to find it everywhere else. Big Storm Brewery. And Bill Curry Ford, that's the man, Sean Sullivan, the Joe Bucks fan draft guru, the Ford guru at Bill Curry Ford. He's the general manager, the big boss. He'll help you with service, bodywork, ordering a vehicle, getting you that Ira Kaufman discount every which way he can. BillCurryFord.com. Start there. You can find Sean's email there and just shoot him a note. Tell him what you're looking for, what you need. He will help you. He wants to. He's eager. Bill Curry Ford. Ira, Jason Light now inherits Todd Bowles. That's his guy. And like you said, Bruce Arians has lost 95% of his power. And Jason Light now is the most powerful GM, I'm going to say, that this organization has ever had. Do you think that's accurate? And he's the guy now. This is all Jason, phase four of his career, as I like to call it. And here it is. What do you think?
Well, you could argue Mark Domenech in 2009 with Raheem Morris, first-year coach, a lot to prove. Rebuilding a team, of course, the cycle had ended in the mind of the Glazers, and I think they were right at that time. Veteran purge. I think Domenech had a lot of power starting in 2009. We know how it ended. Finished his career 28-52. It didn't work out. I think Light had a lot of power with Dirk Cutter. Not as much with Lovie Smith. I'm with Lee on that one. And not as much during the Arians era. But I understand your point. But I would argue Domenech for about 3 or 4 years under Raheem. 3 years under Raheem. And maybe even extended to the Schiano era. Domenech had a lot of power too, Steve.
All right, Sage, wanted your take on that. Ira Bowles, Bowles himself. One big difference with the Jets in New York, Casey Rogers called the defense. And Todd Bowles said that, I felt I had to sort of do things a certain way. This time I'm doing it my way. That was a theme that he said multiple times over the last couple of days. And he's calling the defense. Casey Rogers, that defense got progressively worse. They were at the bottom of the barrel of the NFL the last 2 years. And of their time in New York, those 4 years. But Bowles is keeping the job as defensive play caller. Rodgers and Larry Foote are co-defensive coordinators. What do you think of that move, guys? You know, obviously a tremendous amount of responsibility on Todd Bowles, who does say, unlike Dirk Cutter and others, and Gruden, he did say that he will be stepping across the aisle and getting involved in the offense and giving his input where he thinks it's appropriate and needed.
I think that's an important point, Steve, being with Bowles, not just in the press conference, but for about 20 minutes after in the media room. Lee, what became clear to me is this is his second time around. In Bowles' mind, Lee, and I think accurately, this will be his last time around if it doesn't work out. This will be it. He's not naive. He's not getting a third bite at the apple if this is unsuccessful. And Lee, along those lines, he's going to do it his way. He's doing it his way, which I don't think he approached it necessarily with the Jets in that manner. He was a first-time coach. He didn't have any experience. And speaking of that, the big part with the Glazers, Joel was talking to me the other day, and I asked him, how did he assess Bowles' 4 years with the Jets? And Joel went into this whole speech, Lee, whether you agree or not, that a lot of coaches, the history of this league shows, do a lot better the second time around with experience. A lot of it is the circumstances that the guys dropped into the first time around. Joel didn't say it, but of course the quarterback plays a big role. He didn't have an elite quarterback with the Jets. And so the Glazer brain trust was looking at Bowles and trying to evaluate, Steve, what was it, 24-40, I think, with the Jets? Something like that.
Yep.
And that's after winning 10 games his first year. Lee, they took everything into totality, sort of like, hey, you know, could you win with the Jets at that time? Could anybody do it? Could Belichick do it? And I think they came to the conclusion, we're not going to hold it against them. And now he's got experience. He learned a lot of stuff. So, Lee, to get back to my first point, Bowles is going to be more aggressive in flexing his muscles. I don't blame him. He's been waiting for this chance. Now he's got it. He's going to run or fall with him calling the shots. And if that means that he's sticking his nose into the quarterback room, so be it. He's not going to let things fall a chance. He wants a hand in everything. I don't blame him, Lee.
I don't blame him, but I'm highly suspicious anytime a defensive coach wants to get involved with an offense. Right. Outside of Parcells and Belichick, which you're talking two out of how many thousands of NFL coaches, outside of those two guys, I can't think of any time a defensive coach has gotten involved in the offense. That's a good thing.
Sage, I'm very leery of Bowles. People who've listened to this podcast for years, I think his time in New York is just not something you can write off. And that's something we're going to watch very closely. And a big reason I think you can't write it off, Ira, is because he spent 4 years there. It's not like he went to New York and they didn't know what they were doing. They got rid of him after 2 years and he was just getting his feet on the ground. By year four in New York, Todd Bowles was an experienced head coach. An experienced head coach by year four in New York, and the wheels fell off. And then there's reports out of New York straight up that the defense quit on him. Quit. And you look at the numbers, their last bunch of games, they must have let up like 34 points a game over the second half of the season. So I don't know. I feel weird about that. I kind of look at the analogy of Dirk Cutter. You could say that Dirk Cutter, like Todd Bowles with the Jets, Dirk Cutter went to a crappy organization that didn't know what it was doing, that had a very young quarterback, and basically he had a good year. He didn't coach up any coaches, really. Todd Bowles has no coaching tree. It's not like all the guys under Bowles in New York went on to great things. He didn't know how to find an offensive coordinator. When Chan Gailey left, the wheels fell off. I'm sure that you guys, I'd give you $100 each if you knew who his Jets coordinator was in the last couple of years, calling plays. I mean, he didn't develop a coaching staff there, and I think there's a lot of holes in Todd Bowles, although this is a perfect situation. But like you said, Ira, to open up, he's got a lot to prove, and you hope that he's learned a ton, and he probably has, but can you execute it?
Steve, all your points are fair, and I know I'm going to say it before Lee does. Parcells says, you are what your record says you are, and he averaged 6 wins, Lee. He averaged 6 wins. Those are the numbers. Indisputable. But, Lee, there's still the idea out there. I was talking to a former NFL executive yesterday. He wanted to know what the hell was going on at One Buck Place. I don't know if I answered this question, but he was very curious. And we were talking about Bowles, and he's a keen NFL observer. And, Lee, I think he speaks for some other people, too, in that it's like it's the Jets. It's the Jets, Lee. You can't win there. Or at least during those years, lousy owner, directionless franchise, bad drafts, poor management. I'm kind of with Steve. I mean, you're there 4 years, Lee, you got to show some improvement, and that didn't happen. Doesn't mean Bowles is going to fail, but, he's got a lot to show right now.
Well, it's not like they're hiring Lovie Smith. So let's walk off the ledge here. I will say that the suits I've spoken to prior to this happening, this is, year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years ago at the combine often, every suit, non-Buck suit I spoke to, they all said the very same thing, that the Jets GM was so atrocious, there's no way you could really fault Bowles. And that was universal. Everybody I talked to, that was pretty much the universal answer.
Yeah, it'll be fun, Ira. Look, Bowles clearly has the respect of the team. Arians had him set up to address the entire roster once a week. That came out on Sirius Radio this week. Leftwich was doing the same thing to give them that experience of imparting their message to the entire roster. And it'll be fun. But, man, I think realistically, Ira, Bowles is in an incredible pressure cooker. If he disappoints this year, let's just say 11-6 and they lose in the second round of the playoffs with Tom Brady and Brady walks away. Yep. Then what? Then you had a guy who couldn't win with all the juice and now you're retooling the team on the fly. The Glazers are wondering, maybe Arians is done. He's decides, that was fun to consult that year. Call me. I'll be playing golf. And Bowles is on his own with Leftwich out the door. Everyone's talking about Byron Leftwich is out the door. It's got to be next year for Byron. Imagine if Leftwich and Tom Brady walk out the door. I don't like the feel of that. If I were Bowles, I would love having Brady to give this a shot. But in some ways, I would have liked to have a little more time to set this thing up for the long term versus jumping in April 1st.
Steve, you described the nightmare scenario. I mean, it's not far-fetched. Bucks get knocked out, second round, and Brady walks away. He retires or he has to go to another team. It's not far-fetched. And now you don't know who the Buck, quarterback is. Could be Trask going forward. Could be a reset. They might go young, Lee, at that time because they're an old team. especially if they get Sue and Gronkowski back, which I think they will. So that's not a crazy scenario. Lee, I got a question for you. I was thinking about this in terms of Leftwich. Lee, do you think you can make a case for Leftwich going forward as a coaching candidate? The fact that Arians is no longer the face of the franchise in terms of a head coach, will Lee, you think that will remove any suggestions if they were out there from owners and GMs in evaluating Leftwich and wondering how much of this offense is for Byron Leftwich? Do we credit him? You think Arians being out of the picture helps him in that regard a little if the Bucs have a good season, Lee?
Yeah, and I'm not. You're right, and I'm not really worried about Leftwich's candidacy with another team because that's another team's issue. And, you know, I want to try to keep this Bucs-centric. Your point earlier about Brady and Bowles and Leftwich, I firmly believe this is Brady's last year. Whether he plays in Miami next year, I don't know. But if you're Brady, you want stability. And if Leftwich is gone after next year, Brady, you think if you're Brady, you're like, I just had a new head coach and now I have a new offensive coordinator? Nah, I'm out.
Yeah, I could see it. I could see it.
It's realistic, Ira. It's not a knock on Brady. I mean, if he leaves after he's 45, he leaves. And if he doesn't sign a contract with the Bucs to extend this contract, if he's not under their power for 2023 and he goes into essentially a lame duck or free agency season, then what? I mean, Todd Bowles is going to be hit with that question. What, you know, are you thinking a quarterback next year, a development, and also all this sorts of stuff? I got to say this up front, guys, because I may need help, serious medical help. Going forward, I need you guys on alert, and hopefully maybe somebody's with me. I can already tell I'm not going to be able to handle, not going to be able to deal with it physically or mentally if they don't assign Bruce Arians to develop Kyle Trask. If that doesn't happen, I don't know what to do with myself. It makes no sense whatsoever. The guy's time should be devoted to the quarterbacks, and if it's not, I just don't even get it. I wouldn't get it.
It's not a crazy thought, Steve. It's a smart thought. I think Steve's idea is outstanding because, Steve, even if Trask doesn't throw a regular season pass, if he is Bruce Arians' pet project, Steve, pet project, and Arians doesn't have, you know, nearly as much on his plate now as he did when he was the head coach, I think he'll be able to evaluate Trask. And by the end of the year, give light and top goals and honest evaluation, Steve.
Yeah, Ira, look, of course he doesn't have as much on his plate. If he can't give Kyle Trask 10 hours a week, I don't know what the F is going on in that place. I'm not going to be able to sleep or breathe. I'm going to have convulsions. It just wouldn't make a lick of sense.
Lee, I just got the sense. Lee, just the sense. This is going to be Brady's last year with the Bucs.
Ira, you just said you tried to chase the guy down. He didn't say anything. We don't know if he plans to play till he's done. I mean, how do you know?
Well, I said last year with the Bucs, Steve. You mentioned that contract thing. It hasn't happened. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen. The Bucs certainly want it to happen, Lee. They certainly want him on the contract for 2023. But until we hear it, I think the odds are good that enjoy him this year. Enjoy him, and they might win a Super Bowl. They just might. Lee, isn't it amazing a little bit that I think the Bucs are kind of favored over the Rams right now to win the NFC? That's tough. That's tough.
I agree with you. And here's what's really weird about this, and this is Bucs-centric, the Kyle Trask issue. Now, granted, Brady is your quarterback. I get that. And the Bucs were hunting for the Super Bowl. I get that. But of the first eight quarterbacks drafted last year, the only one who's yet to take a snap is Kyle Trask.
I would like for the Bucs to have some kind of sense about Trask, Steve, by the end of the season. But like Lee says, if Brady's healthy, he doesn't like coming out of a game, even if it's 45-17. Bucs.
Well, forget that, Ira. I'm just talking about being on their game day roster.
Yeah.
Just taking a snap. Of the top eight quarterbacks taken last year, only one was wearing civilian clothes on game day. Only two never started the game.
I think that's going to change this year, Steve. With Arians out of the picture, I think that's going to change.
Ira, do you think the players, what do you think their reaction is to this? Arians obviously impacted a lot of them. Some know bowls, some don't. Do you get any feeling that there's sadness for the players here, losing their coach, a little loss of confidence? I mean, I'm not knocking Todd Bowles. The players may like him, but again, look at what Arians has accomplished and look at the impact that he's had in a lot of different areas. Do you feel that there's going to be, you know, I don't have a lot of experience personally with this transition of power like this. I don't know. How do you think the players react to this?
There's some bewilderment, some shock right now. They didn't see it coming. Apparently the only one who knew about it was Tom Brady. And that's a whole nother subject. There are reports that Brady knew about this shortly after he returned, which is like, Steve, 2-3 weeks before Arians coaches found out that he was leaving, which is another layer of mystery about this whole thing. These players are not stupid. There's a grapevine. And Lee, if we're wrong, and Brady indeed is a henchman in this affair, I dare say that Brady's going to lose quite a bit of respect in that locker room, I think.
Ooh, really?
But I don't think it's true. But if it is, the players are going to know about it. They're going to know.
It's hard for me to believe that players won't respect Brady because they know Brady means wins, and wins means money.
Lee, I understand that.
Lee, what's your take on Jason Light's power at this point? Do you feel that he's an all-powerful presence now with the guy who built this roster and Todd Bowles coming in as a less powerful head coach?
Well, I don't know how much power they have. You know, we don't know that. We probably never will. But yeah, I think it's all to Jason Light, and he's got the street cred. He decided to go out and get Arians, and that was a jackpot. What I find interesting, and we've spoken about this before, and it's not a knock on Jason at all, but the guy is, number one, so freaking nervous when you put a microphone and the camera in front of him. But, and Steve, I think I may have told you this with text or emails, but I saw that video that Rock Rally captured of Light on a sidebar at the owners' meetings. I've never seen him that freaked out since Lovie Smith got fired. And I'm like, what is he covering here? Something's going on. No one is this freaking nervous unless there's something going on or something huge is about to happen or something huge didn't happen. Sure enough, he knew that there was going to be a quarterback or there was going to be a coaching change. But
yep.
Ira, can you imagine? And that video, actually, if anybody wants to scrutinize it, the Buccaneers have Jason Light's 8-minute news conference at the owners' meetings at YouTube on their YouTube channel. It didn't strike me in the moment. He struck me as a little uncomfortable. But looking at a tighter clip, I didn't study it. I only looked at it in the moment and used my audio. But Ira, can you imagine in that moment you were there? If somebody had asked Jason Light, how excited are you for year 4 of Bruce Arians? How's he feeling? And how do you think he's approaching this season? what would he have said?
You're right, Steve, because, the locals had Light for, 5 to 10 minutes on Monday in Palm Beach, followed by Joe Glazer, 5 to 10 minutes in Palm Beach. And Lee, looking back, at that time, they both knew that there was going to be a coaching change. There's no question about it because Bowles was told about it earlier that day on Monday. So everybody was aware of it except the guys that were asking the questions, Lee. And we never asked an Arians-specific question because we didn't have any inkling that he wasn't going to
dream
the 2022 Bucks. But, in retrospect, Steve, I'm kind of a little bit surprised that they didn't cancel those little meetings with the media, Steve, in retrospect.
Yeah, I mean,
well, that would have been a red flag, wouldn't it?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, that would have been a tip-off something's happening, so they wanted to keep it quiet. Like you said, and I think I know who you're talking to, Ira. You said you spoke to an assistant coach. He didn't know until Wednesday.
Right, right.
They wanted to keep it under wraps. And by the way, when I say that about Jason, it's not a knock in any way. He's just uncomfortable with a camera in front of him for whatever. You'd think he'd be used to it by now, but he's not. But when he's trying to, hide is the right word, but when he's trying to avoid a certain subject, man, does he get nervous and stutter and stare at the ceiling. He does not have a good poker face.
Hey, Ira, just because I know you like this kind of stuff, so we're in this room. We're talking to Jason Light. They pull a quick hook on him, 8.5 minutes. And he says, take care, guys. Who's the guy who walks out the door with light and then comes back 10 minutes later, leaving everybody else saying, what is he doing?
I believe his name's Steve Idzbitz. I believe.
Yeah, I just followed him right out the door. Hey, how's I wasn't in the room, obviously, when I left, but I'm sure that got a few interesting looks.
Guys, what do you think of, and does it matter? Will it matter in terms of Lee Bowles's demeanor in public settings, Bowles in front of a podium, Bowles in
Hell
front of
no.
a microphone?
That means nothing. Only thing that means to is like a handful of people who are paid to ask questions. That doesn't mean a damn thing.
I think Bowles has a lot more vibrant personality than he lets out.
I know he does. Yeah. I've talked to him, you know, on the side before. What you see, that's not Todd Bowles. What you see with Jason Light, that's not Jason Light. Jason Light's a real gregarious guy. It's a real, hey, let's go out and, you know, he's just a fun guy. But put a camera in front of him, and he ices up something terrible. But here's my story about image with the press. And I can't think of the guy's name. You would know it, Steve, right away. He was a guy on WFAN. He was a fan-turned-sports radio host. They had him on a cable TV show for a press conference for either a Knicks or a Nets coach. His introductory press conference. And they asked him after the press conference, well, what's your impressions of how he handled the press conference? He goes, who the hell cares? It doesn't mean a damn thing.
Wait, let me throw this in here, Ira. I think it's changed. I think it does matter at this point, and I'll tell you why. Because these news conferences go up on YouTube. You know, Bruce Arians, Todd Bowles, whoever it is, the head coach goes up on YouTube and the team's promoted out to fans. And a Bruce Arians news conference routinely would have 40,000 views on YouTube. So the fans are actually watching these things, whereas before they didn't in this way. And so it means a lot to those fans who tune in. If a guy's boring as hell, that 40,000 might go down to 8,000. Oh gosh, Todd Bowles isn't interesting at all, and I'm not watching this. Even if you look at the Bucks numbers of who watches news conferences, Byron Leftwich's news conferences don't get much of an audience on YouTube compared to the other coaches, because he's just kind of doesn't say anything. So I think it matters more than it used to anyway.
How does it relate to wins?
Doesn't relate to wins at all, but you said it only matters.
But
you said it only matters to a handful of media, but yet there are tens of thousands of fans watching this stuff.
So what you're saying is people are calling in sick at work. They're so distraught because Byron Leftwich is horrible behind a microphone.
No, I'm just saying people are paying attention, whereas they never really did, you know, four or five years ago.
Yeah, they're paying attention, but maybe it's just me. In the big picture, doesn't mean, in the immortal words of Steve Dumick, doesn't mean spit.
No, absolutely. Doesn't affect the one win.
Left, which is so horrible in front of a camera, that doesn't mean he's a bad coordinator.
Steve, there's one more layer to this in terms of the demeanor of a coach, public demeanor. It can help you when things aren't going well. It can help you with the media in a market lead like Philly. And, Lee, we had it right here in Tampa to a degree with Schiano. The national guy's killing Schiano. I'm not saying he wouldn't have been fired, Lee, after that second season, but that didn't help his cause. It did.
I'll give you a better example, Ira. Dungy.
Yeah.
That's a better example.
Well, Dungy had winning teams.
Regular season winning teams.
Yeah.
I'll give you a Whitey Herzog quote, Ira. This boils it all down to two sentences. If you're nice with the press, it will buy you 2 years.
See, that's what I'm saying, Lee. I mean, and Bowles is not going to be antagonistic, Steve. I'm not saying Bowles is antagonistic. If the media is fond of you, Steve, I mean, they're human beings. They cut you a little slack when times are hard.
Yeah, and the owners are human beings, too. They want people who are liked. But, you know, look, we care about wins and everything else will fall into place. Sage, last couple of football questions before we get out of here. And our thanks to Big Storm Beer, official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Big Storm Beer, Florida's best craft beer. Florida's elite restoration, as we heard. That's the first phone call. Ira, spell mold. How do you spell mold?
M-O-L-D, my friend. M-O-L-D.
There you go. That's mold. And when you have mold, you call Florida's elite restoration immediately. They're licensed mold remediation specialists, and they handle every possible disaster in your home and in your business. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. And Bill Curry Ford, the iconic Bill Curry Ford and Sean Sullivan. That's your first place when you need a vehicle or anything done to your vehicle. Bill Curry Ford, C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. I wanted to congratulate you, Ira. I know this was a great day. I want to know where you took your wife to dinner when you got the news. Giovanni Bernard has re-signed.
Lee, here we are again. We can go to war again all summer long. Look, the guy made a few plays, not nearly as many as I thought he would.
Three.
And I'll say this, Lee, you know, now with Leonard Fournette as a proven three-down back, I'm not as interested as I am in Bernard coming in. You know, it's a third running back. He's gonna finish the season with about 12 carries in 17 games, if he plays 17 games. Catch 20, 25 balls, and if he scores four or five touchdowns, Buck fans will be happy.
It would not shock me at all if the Bucks drafted a running back the second day of the draft. Yeah, Ira, the Bucks have been linked to Isaiah Spiller, the running back out of Texas A&M, who apparently is a ferocious blocker, pretty good running back, pretty good, a three-down back kind of guy.
All right, Ira, Todd Bowles said that he was asked about Logan Ryan, and he was sort of kind of cool on Logan Ryan. He said that he's a totally different player than Jordan Whitehead, and that he was not drafted to replace, not signed to replace Jordan Whitehead. And he's got to see him move around, and he certainly has the experience at nickel and otherwise, and they'll figure it out. So that was an interesting way of saying that, that Bowles very much has him under consideration for nickel, and that he's not Jordan Whitehead, and we know that they like Jordan Whitehead's game very much.
And, of course, Lee, Logan Ryan started out for a long time the predominant part of his NFL career. He played corner, and he did move to safety the last couple of years. I did get Bowles to say he's a very versatile player. I could see him in the nickel. But, you know, something tells me Bowles wants to see a little bit more of Mike Edwards. He wants to see a little bit more. I think Nick Rapone, the safeties coach, shares that view.
Now, why wouldn't you?
Edwards is still kind of raw. He's out of position on occasion, just like other people. You know, he's not Rod Woodson or Ronnie Lott, but he's got a nose for the football. Lee, and
he makes
limited
plays.
Playing time, he makes plays. They don't have a lot of guys back there who make plays. And I'm not sure that Bowles isn't very curious to see what Mike Edwards can do in an enhanced role. We shall see. But you know one thing about Ryan? He's a pretty good blitzer. One year he had four sacks. The next year he had 4.5. That's a good number from a defensive back. And I can see Bowles turning him loose on the pass rush. And Lee, I hate to say this, but at this point with the Buck roster, I think they're going to need help on that pass rush.
Hopefully Tryon can turn the corner. You know, he's still young. I don't disagree with you, Ira. But, you know, JPP was a non-factor last year, and they were quote-unquote this close to getting back to the Super Bowl. So it wouldn't hurt to have a better pass rush.
Sage, last one for you. Lee said much, much earlier in the podcast that he thinks this transition, and if I got you wrong, Lee, let me know, that the switch to Bowles may cost you two wins in the win column during the regular season. Do you agree with that? How many wins do you think? Now, we know Vegas is tied to betting. You know, it's about what the public perception is across the country, not just an astute Bucks observer like the Sage. But Lee said two wins. What do you think, Ira?
You know, I'm not sure I disagree with Lee DeKemper. That scares me a little bit, Lee. you know, since Arian's decision, it's become a little bit fashionable in some circles to try to diminish his contribution to this franchise. I think that's a mistake. He sets a tone that I think is going to be sorely missed among all the players. Lee, this is not going to be a cakewalk. The division might be, but this schedule is a lot tougher, Lee. It's just a lot tougher. I know teams change from year to year, but some teams aren't going anywhere. I mean, they're going to be good.
Well, I want your feedback on this. You've seen enough Bucks practices with Arians. Some of the national guys, they think because Arians once upon a time said, win or lose, we booze, that Arians is like oh, let's just go out there, have fun, loosey-goosey. If you feel like busting your tail in practice, okay. If not, that's fine. That can't be further from the truth. My perception of Aaron's, and I've seen not as many as you, if you're goofing off at practice, Arians is all over your case.
And Lee, to add to that, when the tape comes out, you know, and the coaches go over it that afternoon and that night, and when Arians has his meeting in the morning with the players the next day, and he said it, Lee, and I believe him, he's unmerciful. He chews their ass out.
Wow.
Including Brady. And I don't hear any nonsense that Brady's thin-skinned and can't handle that. That's stupid. That's stupid. You think Bill Belichick handled him with a soft glove? No, he didn't.
No.
Brady can take it. You know, Brady's Brady. He ain't no toy that's going to break. We will see how Bowles does in that regard. I think Bowles can get a little salty, too. But there's only one Arians. And I'm with Lee. My early call, 11 or 12 wins for the Bucks. I'm leaning towards 11.
All right, Ira. Look, I'm going to say one win, but I'm being optimistic. I'm being optimistic that that's the impact. Again, I'm going with the optimism for now. And Sage, and that's how I feel right as we sit here in April. But Ira, you said Brady's no softy. I can just see Brady sitting there, though, at his home, you know, having some sliced avocado and a little diced mango and saying to himself, you know what? I didn't come all the way from New England to turn around this dog crap franchise just to have this old man screaming in my face. You know, enough of that. And as much as it may not bother him in the moment, maybe when he reflects on it, given his status and his age, it might be a little different than Bill Belichick screaming at him when he's 33 years old and they still have more to accomplish. You know what I mean?
I got one more question for you guys, and I'm curious because maybe a lot of Buck fans don't agree with me, Lee, but I think I was disappointed that Brady didn't answer any questions. He knows what's out there. You know, Joel Glazer says it's a Twitter world, it's an Instagram world, who cares? They're going to write what they want. But, Lee, in my opinion, this speculation doesn't put the franchise in a good light. And maybe it's a case of who cares? We got Brady, let's move on. But this stuff's not going away, Lee, and Brady's the only guy who can put it to rest. But I don't mean with an Instagram post, so... I don't know. I'm disappointed that we can't get to Brady. Who knows when we're going to get to him? If you're not Jim Gray, he doesn't want to talk to you. I'm a little disappointed.
Well, I'm new school. Whether Brady puts out an Instagram post or stands in front of a podium, to me, that's no different. He's going to say the same thing. I just think it says a lot, both bad and good, that he has yet to say no. I didn't force Arians out. You know, he's letting his coach, he supposedly gets along with so well, he's letting the guy twist and win. And you just know that Brady is aware of that. So why hasn't he done it? Why hasn't he put out a simple, you know, called up his social media team, hey, I don't want to deal with this, put out some kind of nonsense on Instagram that I love Bruce Arians and let it go?
I think he's got to address it directly, Steve, at some point. He has to.
All right, well, Ira, you asked me what I think, so I'm going to tell you what I think. I think it's funny in some ways because, so Brady, you know, put out that Instagram thank you, which is fine, except we pretty much all know he probably didn't write it. One of his handlers wrote it, sent it to him for review, and then it went
That's
up.
Right.
You know, so he makes an edit or whatever, and he throws it up. So he didn't write it. And then I heard a lot of people this week, which I couldn't believe it. It's like nobody even mentioned what's probably reality. Is that they talked about, Arians responded on Instagram with an emoji and a booze emoji and he liked it and said thank you or whatever. Does anybody really think Bruce Arians is on Instagram? Somebody's probably handling Arians' account.
I know that. I'd lay money on that.
Yeah.
Yes.
So whether it's his son or whoever. So we've got a statement from Tom Brady that he probably didn't write and a statement from Bruce Arians with a booze emoji that he probably didn't send, and people are talking about it like it's real. So I like the reality, Ira, of looking at Tom Brady's face and his eyes and how he answers the question and how long he goes to answer it and what he chooses to explain. It's a little more comforting than the Instagram stuff from a major celebrity that has a manager for that. So I get you, Ira. I feel you. I don't know if it looks bad or not. It's hard to win with this stuff, but Brady loves the drama and loves the intrigue. And I think also Brady knows that if he comes out and says in a news conference, this is ridiculous, no one's going to believe him anyway.
Yeah. Well, it depends how he says it, Lee, and the details he provides. Lee, all I'm saying is, I know he doesn't like to deal with rumors and respond to every speculation, but Lee, this is different. This is big, and, you know, his coach is, his former coach is twisting in the wind, as you said. I think he owes it to Arians to answer some questions.
Yeah, or at least answer the questions honestly when they do come to him, like, Tom, did this shock you? Did you ask Bruce to stay and try to talk him out of it? You know, Brady's probably going to say, oh, I don't want to go there. And which I'm not going to say that he's not, no one's going to believe him, but the people who don't want to believe him are never going to believe him. That's really what I meant to say.
That too. Welcome to the world of 21st century media.
Well, Ira, everybody believes that you are the sage of Tampa Bay sports, especially if they're listening after this longest podcast of the year. And they know that you will be, nobody needs to confirm the report that you will be hitting the next buffet hard. You will be, how's the diet going, Ira? What, is there a number that we can work with?
I'm down 1.75 pounds, so I'm where I was before I hit the dessert table at the Breakers. You're storming in action. Lee, I got a bigger hug from the NFL commissioner than I got from my wife on my wedding night. I mean, what's going on?
I'm not going to touch that. All right. Real quick, this is more Steve and I related than anything. As we were recording this podcast, I was texting with Byard Steele. And for those not knowing, Byard Steele is a former regional editor with Tribune that Steve and I are good friends with. And in his text, he said something like, you guys have had a pretty busy off season. And my reply was, Ira, you might relate to this. I said, honest to goodness, thought Byard, I'm not sure if I've written 5 draft stories yet, and it's April. In the past, I started writing draft stories before Halloween.
No question about it, Lee, but you know who's picking up the slack? Sean Sullivan, general manager of Bill Curry Ford, right, Steve?
Absolutely, and it is a great perspective, Lee. Yeah, there was no way that we weren't looking at the draft and eagerly awaiting those November mock drafts. Way back when in the lost decade. All right, Ira, get out of here. We will talk to you soon. And who knows what's next on this crazy Bucks merry-go-round. And it is April already. Unbelievable that players will be back. Looks like April 11th for at least some chatter and some stretching. So big stuff ahead.